These devotees of mine who?
Those devotees of mine who?
Wait a second. All right.
Dada.
Wife.
Wife.
Agada.
House.
House.
Putra.
Children. Sons.
Children.
Apta. Relative society. Pranam. Even life. Vitam. Wealth. Imam.
All these.
Param. Elevation to the heavenly planets. Or becoming one by merging into Brahman. Itva.
Giving up.
All these ambitions and paraphernalia. Mam, unto me. Sharanam, shelter. Yataha, having taken. Katam, how. Tan, such persons. Chaptum,
to give them up.
Utsahe, I can be enthusiastic. In that way, it is not possible. So translation, since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? You can repeat. Since pure devotees give up
their
homes, wives, children,
relatives,
riches,
and even their lives,
simply to serve me,
without any desire
for material improvement
in this life or in the next.
How can I give up
such devotees at any time?
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the words Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Thus He is the well-wisher of the Brahmanas. Durvasa Muni was certainly a very great Brahmana, but because he was a non-devotee, he could not sacrifice everything in devotional service. Great mystic yogis are actually self-interested. The proof is that when Durvasa Muni created a demon to kill Maharaj Ambarish, the king stayed fixed in his place, praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depending solely and wholly on him. Whereas when Durvasa Muni was chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, by the supreme will of the Lord, he was so perturbed that he fled all over the world and tried to take shelter in every nook and corner of the universe. At last, in fear of his life, he approached Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was so interested in his own body that he wanted to kill the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, he did not have very good intelligence. And how can an unintelligent person be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The Lord certainly tries to give all protection to his devotees who have given up everything for the sake of serving him. Another point in this verse is that attachment to dara, gara, putrapta, home, wife, children, friendship, society, and love is not the way to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to hearth and home for material pleasure cannot become a pure devotee. Sometimes a pure devotee may have a habit or attraction for wife, children, and home, but at the same time want to serve the Supreme Lord to the best of his ability. For such a devotee, the Lord makes a special arrangement to take away the objects of his false attachment and thus free him from attachment to wife, home, children, friends, and so on. This is the special mercy bestowed upon a devotee to bring him back home, back to Godhead. So, yedaragara putrapta prangnam vittam imam param itvamam sharanam yatha kathang thangs choktum utsahe. Om Magana to Gananda Shah, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam, Yena Tasmai Shidabe Namaha. So in this verse, there's actually more referred to than in the translation here, in addition to the homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, etc., etc. There's also going to the heavenly planets or merging into the Brahman, or becoming one by merging to the Brahman. So that's a devotee, and a devotee, because of that quality, he is actually a real Brahman. Because by definition, the word designation Brahman means one who understands Brahman. And to fully understand Brahman, Brahmaiti, Paramatmaiti, Bhagavaniti, Shavyate. You have to understand the three aspects of Brahman. Otherwise, you're just having a temporary understanding of Brahman, just the Sat aspect or the Chit aspect, but not the Ananda aspect. And without the Ananda aspect, there's no bhakti. And without bhakti, then you may give things up, yes, for the sake of what? Liberation. Or for the sake of jnana, understanding things, you know, that such. But you're still self-centered. And as long as you're self-centered, you're not going to develop the qualities that are there for a pure devotee. The saintly qualities. And those qualities, even if you happen to have them temporarily, they won't be permanent. As described, yasyasti bhakti bhagavacca kinchana sarvaya ganastatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kato mahaguna manoritainasati davatel. So one who has devotion, yasyasti bhakti bhagavacca kinchana, for Krishna, all the good qualities are manifest in Dhamma. So one who doesn't have devotion, the verse says, then manoritena sati davatobhi, simply manoritena. Rata, just like we have our rathyatra, that's a cart. rathyatra. So rata, same thing, is the chariot of the mind. And sometimes the mind is going to be into renunciation, and sometimes the mind is going to be into sense gratification. Just like we hear about somebody who does actually merge into the Brahman, Aruyakachena Parampadampada, Patanchiya Yujmat Angreha, that ultimately they fall down and engage in material activities and in the mode of goodness in the beginning, like opening hospitals. And then ultimately, as we know, the modes of nature are constantly fighting for supremacy. They fall down and they become immersed in the lower modes of nature, which is actually what we see with so many so-called saintly people in India. Anyway, so a devotee is the only one who can exhibit these good qualities permanently. And I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita about the qualities that a devotee has. And you can see how Maharaj Ambarish is exhibiting these qualities. And this is not an attempt to criticize Durvasa Muni, because I'm taking this as a pastime. I'm not taking this as a denigration of Durvasa Muni, because Durvasa Muni is an expansion of Lord Shiva, as are other great devotees, like Hanuman. And we worship Hanuman, so I'm not going to offend Durvasa Muni. I'm not going to offend Lord Brahma, because he stole the calves and the coward boys, because that was a pastime, and he's our original preceptor. So, Anyway, so here are the godly qualities, and we can hear about them. This, of course, is the chapter called The Divine and Demoniac Natures, and this is chapter 16 in the Gita. So, I'm very fond of this, because the first few were actually specifically directed towards sannyasis. But you see, pure devotees, they exhibit the same thing. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, first of all, he says, fearlessness. So let's contrast. Here you have Durvasa Muni. Was he fearless in this particular instance? No. He was afraid of his own, actually, literally, rear end in this particular case. But anyway, he wasn't fearless. He was afraid for his own life. In other words, protecting his body. And let's contrast that with Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish was confronted with this demon that was created by Durvasa Muni. What did Maharaj Ambarish do? He just folded his head and said, you know, he was saying that if it's Krishna's desire, because actually where does the fearlessness from a devotee, of a devotee come from? Not only from the knowledge he's not the body, that doesn't give you fearlessness. Because we know we're not our bodies, but still, you know, we want to protect them because the bodies are the means for us to enjoy this world. I know I'm not my car. Just like yesterday, I was driving the car, and a light came on in the dashboard. And because I'm attached, I immediately went to the gas station and filled up some air into the tire. That was the only problem. Nothing serious. Didn't have to see a doctor. So, fearlessness doesn't come simply by jnana. Fearlessness comes from seeing, according to the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 30, yomam pashati sarvatra. Saram chamayi pashati. Tashaham na pranashyami. Sachame na pranashyati. In other words, seeing Krishna in everywhere. Everywhere. And understanding that whatever Krishna does is for the best. Krishna is everywhere and everything, and of course, that verse says that if one sees Krishna in everywhere and everything, then one is not lost to Krishna. He's never lost to Krishna. Anyway, so that's where devotee's fearlessness comes from. Understanding the Lord is protecting one, understanding the Lord is maintaining one, and understanding that if it's time to die, it's time to die. Like we gave that example the other day when the devotees were talking about World War III. Devotees were fearful. What are we going to eat, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, we'll die. In a very nonchalant way. And devotees were shocked. You know, they were planning to stockpile food. Like we saw the year, the Y2K, many devotees had stockpiled food and bought land that they couldn't afford, thinking that the banks would actually go kaput. That's French. So, would get, you know, the banks would lose all their records and they wouldn't have to pay their loans off. And so Prabhupada wasn't like that. Prabhupada said, then we'll die. Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, only a fool will complain when death is coming to, you know, complain about it. He said, only a fool. Because death will come. Yeah. Abhaya shatra sham shri jnana yagur vasanti. Of course, for sannyasi specifically, this is the most important, one of the most important qualities to exhibit because of devotion. Because a sannyasi traditionally had to go to the forest. That was the tradition. And going to the forest meant that there were tigers and lions and all sorts of creatures there. Nowadays, of course, devotees are so fearful. I have one disciple I'm trying to convince to go to Vrindavan. He's afraid of the snakes there. I said, I've never been bothered by a snake. And if you circumambulate Govardhan Hill, then the snakes won't bother you, so don't worry. He said, no, the snakes. And then anyway, So much fearfulness we have. Anyway, the second quality is purification of one's existence. So, Durvasa Muni obviously hasn't been engaged in that. And Maharaj Ambarish was engaged in this performance of the Ekadasi and Dwadasi, and he was fasting. And it was all done for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we'll just read the next few ones. Cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, nonviolence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, to see which ones fit Maharaj Ambarish and which ones fit Durvasa Muni. Compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. That's a big one for Durvasa Muni. These transcendental qualities of Son of Bharata belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. And then, of course, apart from that, then Krishna starts talking about the next verse. I just want to read the next verse. Krishna starts talking about the demoniac. I won't read the next verse. Demoniac nature, and there's, you know, pride, arrogance, conceit. And you see these be manifest in this particular pastime by Durvasa Muni. That's interesting. Because, at least as a pastime, he's not exhibiting devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when one has love for someone, one has love for Krishna, not Yashasti Bhakti Bhagavata Krishna, one has love for the spiritual master, then at that particular point, you're able to tolerate the pushings of these different things that interfere with your exhibiting divine qualities. So one of the things that's mentioned, apart from that, let's go on, is the pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me. So let's unpack that, because it's not the pure devotees absolutely or renounce their homes, wives, etc., 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 to serve Krishna, but they give them to Krishna. You understand? It's not that if someone, in order to be a pure devotee, has to just be a renunciate, or in the renunciate in the sense of going to the forest. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, manasa geha deha geha yokishimor apilam tuyapati nandakishor. Understanding that your home, your wife, your children, relatives, riches should be given to the temple. Anyway, so understanding that your homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, everything should be engaged in the service of Krishna. That's renunciation, and that's known as yukta vairagya, which is the opposite of what you may get the impression of, falgu vairagya. It's not that someone is renounced just because they leave home. Because according to Krishna in the Gita, renunciation of the mode of passion is because, you know, some difficulty, something is just like driving you crazy. Like, you know, if your wife or husband is driving you crazy and you leave home, that doesn't mean you renounce. That means you're just interested in pleasing yourself and your own enjoyment. Renunciation means to stay in whatever, stane stita, shruti gatam, tan van manobir. Just like Lord, this verse was spoken in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya was serving, was touring South India, and this one Brahmin, Kurma Brahmin, and others actually, they wanted to just go with Lord Chaitanya. I mean, obviously, Lord Chaitanya is extremely attractive. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in comparison to him, probably your wife or children don't hold a candle. So, I mean, you may have an attractive wife, but compared to Lord Chaitanya, she probably looks like a frog. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya was touring, and these devotees, they wanted to just give up everything. And Lord Chaitanya said, don't ever talk like that. And he recited this verse from the Bhagavatam. Sthanishtita, just remain. But not just remain. Sthanishtita, shudhigata, tanvan manobir. You should engage in hearing and chanting. Shudhigata, tanvan manobir. Just remain there. And of course, he also gave the instruction to those householders who wanted to follow him. He said, his famous instruction, Yari Deka Tari, Tari Gar, Krishna Padesha, Margari Guru Hoi Tori. You should become Guru. Just like I was listening to one conversation, one devotee, his name was Dira Krishna, not our Dira Krishna, asked Prabhupada the question, how do you become a Guru? I definitely wouldn't want to ask Prabhupada that question. I mean, it's one thing to ask Prabhupada what's going to happen when you leave the planet, but he asked, you know, how do you become a guru? And Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya gave that instruction in that same verse I just quoted, you know, Yari Vekatari Kari, Krishna Vadesha Margai Guru Vaitore Desh. Everyone should become a guru. But then he instructed this devotee the qualification for becoming guru. And Tadviganartam sa gurumeva vigachet submit panishram shiyam brahmanishnam. That's what the Prabhupada quoted. He said, one should accept the guru, but he said the guru's quality is to submit panishram shiyam brahmanishnam. Meaning, submit pani, mean being a humble servant to his spiritual master, disciple, succession. Shrotiyam must have heard nicely, and Brahmanishtam be nishta, steady, 24/7. As we know from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's description of the platform of nishta, it means not just having good sadhana. It means 24/7. 24/7 means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, if one has those particular qualities, and is devoted to Krishna, you know, it must be devoted to Krishna, obviously, then that's how Lord Chaitanya advised these people in South India. And it's described that whoever saw Lord Chaitanya became a pure devotee and never came in contact with those devotees who became pure devotees became pure devotees. You know, it's like a disease. You know, just give a disease to someone, you know, sneeze and someone gets the cold. And so what else gets in the cold? So Krishna consciousness is something like that. So in other words, the Yukta Vairagya means that everything that you own should be used for the service of the spiritual master. And that's really what it means, giving up even their lives to serve me without any desire for material enjoyment. Anyavi dasyata shunyam jnana karma navartam Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam Bhakti Uttamam. That's basically the same thing. Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam, without any of these dirty things like jnana, karma, and avatam, enjoyment, gross enjoyment, subtle enjoyment, liberation, or even the desire to acquire knowledge, and simply doing what Krishna wants in a joyful mood, and with a mood to actually please the Supreme Personality, Godhead. So this is Krishna consciousness. And that's what it means to be a Brahmin. Otherwise, in reality, it's just, you're just a ritualistic Brahmin or a caste Brahmin. I mean, there's different meanings of the word or the designation Brahmin according to the context. So Durvasa Muni here, Prabhupada said, is certainly a very great Brahmin. So, at least as his pastime is concerned, it's understood he was a very prominent, very great doesn't mean he's a wonderful Brahmin in this particular context. It means he's very powerful. Very powerful, very prominent, and like either caste Brahmin or someone who knew the impersonal Brahma. But a real Brahmin means to know Krishna. Anyway, so then Krishna states here, if someone is devoted to him like that, then Krishna can never give up such devotees at any time. In other words, Krishna is devoted to his devotee. Krishna becomes a servant of his devotee. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find that, like we have this devotee, Gopa Kumara, who Krishna is hankering so much for him to go back to the spiritual world, to be with him, that Krishna actually directly becomes his spiritual master. And that's the attitude Krishna has to his devotee, with his devotees. And he does whatever is necessary to bring them back to the spiritual realm, as Prabhupada indirectly or directly makes reference to this verse in the Bhagavatam, Yashyaha Managrinami Harishyeta Dinamushanai. For those who I especially favor, I take away everything. And they're simply left, all their friends and relatives, just referring back here to this homes, wife, children, relatives, riches, all of them reject him, and all he can do is chant Hare Krishna, take shelter of Krishna's names. So, anyway. And so let's go to Gopa Kumar. So we see in this particular instance that Krishna made all the arrangements for Gopa Kumar. And finally, when Gopa Kumar comes back to the spiritual world to be with Krishna, Krishna faints in ecstasy. I mean, this is how much devotion Krishna has for his devotees. Krishna faints in ecstasy, and the coward boys are thinking, and the gopis and everybody is thinking that Gopa Kumara is a mystical demon who hurt Krishna. But actually, Krishna is in ecstasy. And Balaram understands. So, that's Krishna's love for his devotees. So, any questions or comments about these things? Yes.
So what I'm just want to be clear, what I'm hearing you say is that renunciation is an internal state.
Well, internal and external.
And external, but then the external being different for everybody.
External means like Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur was interesting one time said that if he thought he could have Krishna conscious children, he'd be prepared to have sex 1,000 times. So, it's a question of what you can engage in Krishna's service, how advanced you are in Krishna's service to be able to engage the whole world without getting...
catch the big fish.
Yeah, without getting wet. You know, it's just like, we see that many devotees took positions. And not only in ISKCON, but, you know, throughout history and religious societies, they take positions and the position goes to their head. And they're not able to engage that amount of Krishna's energy in Krishna's service. So, there's externally. Externally means we, whatever we have, we engage in Krishna's service. And if you're not capable of engaging something in Krishna's service, don't try. Know your limits. Know your adhikar.
So our limit. Well, and all of that's arranged by Krishna.
That's why it says sometimes that one should not accept many disciples. Yeah. But Prabhupada was willing to accept, unlimited disciples, because that was Prabhupada's adhikar. So one has to be very careful in dealing with the material energy. Because one can get infected again unless one is actually qualified. So if one is capable, if one is capable, yes. Let one be married, let one have 20 children. If one's capable. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he didn't have 20, but anyway, he was capable. So one should engage the maximum quantity of Krishna's service, of the material energy in Krishna's service that he is capable for. That's external. Internal understanding that nirmana moha jitta sangha dosha, Avyatmanicha Vanivrikta Kama Dwandvar Vimuktar Sukaduka Sangyar Gachanchimura Padmavyam Tat. Understanding nothing is yours. And don't have any false prestige. But you see, Durvasa Muni became proud, or was proud, at least as a pastime, I have to always qualify myself to avoid offenses. He appeared to be proud because of his opulence. What was his opulence? Mystic power. You know, he was able to create a demon. I can't do that. One time I got angry with someone, I broke my Brahman thread. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. He didn't die, didn't get sick. You know, I could pull all the hairs, there are no more hairs to pull out anyway. I could pull all the hairs out of my whatever, and I can't create a demon. Can you imagine if I had that power? If anyone's had that power, we become pretty proud, isn't it? If I had the power to pull my hair out, you know, I would be pulling it out all the time. So he became proud of his mystic power. How was it? Janmai Shvariya Shudasu Shibir Redamana Adapuman, as Queen Kunti says. We become proud of our beauty, our intelligence, our birth, Janmaishvarya Shutasu Shiviredimana Dapuman. Puama Kinchin Gosha. You have to understand that you have nothing. Nirmana Moha, Jitta Sangha Gosha, that everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna's lending it to you. It's just like if I borrow your car. You know, let's say you have a Tesla or something. Anyway, let's say you have a nice car. Not just a Toyota. But let's say you have a nice car, and I borrow it, and I'm just like proud of, you know, my car. You know, it's stupid. So he became proud of something that was given to him, an opulence that was given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one has to understand what they're capable of engaging. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, and so then that clarification of what to engage.
Yeah, what to engage. You have to understand what they're capable of engaging. Like, Ramananda Roy, what was he doing? He was capable of teaching the Devi Dasis how to dance. And he was dressing these young ladies and bathing their bodies. Do any of you gentlemen want to do that? No, because it's not our audience. Like Lord Chaitanya said, even he said, I'm a sannyasi. I can't even, you know, whenever I see a form, you know, a wooden form. Anyway. But of course, Lord Chaitanya was perfectly renounced. So the point is, we do have an adhikar as far as what we can engage in Krishna's service. Where does it come from? Common sense? Yes, common sense. I'm not going to imitate Ramananda Roy, don't worry. All right. Jai, Shri Shri Radhika Lokananda, Radhika